In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to be reading from the Rock Cliff Review. Now, that is the bulletin that is passed out to those who attend the Sunday morning worship at the meeting house at Rock Cliff. And in that bulletin, it contains a summary or a supplement to the sermon that I'm going to preach that morning. And for this particular bulletin, the article is The End of the Commandment is Love. Let me read that to you. Paul began his letter to Timothy, commanded him to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. 1 Timothy 1 in verse 3. Some may think to charge Paul with being narrow and exclusive, forgetting or denying that truth itself is narrow and exclusive. However, there was more to Paul's charge. Paul further commanded that they give heed to godly edifying, which is in faith. 1 Timothy 1:4. Then Paul says, the end of the commandment is charity. The word end is a word for purpose, aim, or goal. The word charity is the word for love. We think of love as a motivator, and it is, but here love is the end. It is the result. Love is first, is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Godly edifying should end in love. Here's the text. Charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. 1 Timothy 1, 3-5. Here are the elements of Paul's command in order. 1. Godly edifying. 2. Faith unfeigned. 3. A good conscience. 4. A pure heart. And 5. In the end, love. Godly edifying is the King James Version, and it is certain that our preaching should be characterized by godly edifying. But the American Standard Version may better capture the meaning of these words when it says, a dispensation of God. When God has entrusted a man with the preaching of the gospel, he should be faithful to that trust and teach no other doctrine. Godly edifying is Bible preaching. It is not the preaching of fables, endless genealogies, profane and vain babblings, or old wives' fables. Too many preachers spend too much time sharing their own thoughts about the thoughts of men they admire. They need to preach the Word. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. The best preachers preach like Bible teachers. Faith unfeigned comes from that kind of godly edifying. That is faith that is real, genuine, undisguised, and without hypocrisy. It is the kind of faith Timothy had seen in his grandmother and in his mother, and you can see 1 Timothy 1 in verse 5 for that. Godly edifying teaches us what to believe and why to believe. There is unfeigned evidence for unfeigned faith. A good conscience comes from that kind of faith. The conscience has to do with the thoughts of man. Somewhere along the line, I pick up this description of a good biblical conscience. It is when the thoughts of men are in harmony and at peace with the thoughts of God. Godly edifying teaches us the thoughts of God. And when we receive God's thoughts with genuine faith, they become our thoughts. We agree with them, concur with them, and surrender to them. One who has gladly received the thoughts of God will respond to them. That is why they that gladly received His word were baptized in Acts 2:41. That is why baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. A pure heart comes from a good conscience. Peter writes, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Some see a parallel between what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, 3-5 and what Peter wrote to the scattered saints in 1 Peter 1, 18-22. Peter said they were not redeemed with vain traditions. That is no other doctrine. But by that which is manifest in these last times. That is godly edifying. They were to believe in God who raised Jesus from the dead. That is unfeigned faith. And their faith and hope might be in God. That is the good conscience. And they purified their souls in obeying the truth. That is the pure heart. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That is the love at the end of the commandment. It is the pure heart that enables us to love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. As we contend for truth in doctrine, as we should, we must remember godly edifying, unfeigned faith, the good conscience, pure hearts, and unfeigned love. The church at Ephesus had trouble doing this. As we see in Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7, we will do well to remember the end from the beginning. Well, that's what the sermon was about that morning. And in my preaching, I try to preach like a Bible teacher. Most of my preaching comes right from the text of the Scripture. And you can bring your Bibles when you come to worship with us and open up and follow along. And we'll go along studying these things. And I bring my lessons from the book of Mark and from the book of 1 Timothy and from Isaiah the prophet and from the Psalms. And I kind of rotate them around that way. And I do that so we can keep ourselves focused on God's Word. That's godly edifying. You're welcome to come worship with us at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now we're going to return to our regular Bible studies. And we're studying a Sunday school lesson prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of December 19th, 1926. It is about Samuel the judge. And we read in our last class from 1 Samuel 7, verses 3 through 12, and then the golden text which says, "Direct your hearts unto Jehovah and serve Him only," 1 Samuel 7 in verse 3. And now I want to read the devotional reading, which for this Sunday school lesson is the 46th Psalm. The psalm has an inscription for the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Almoth, a song. And here's how the psalm reads. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of Jehovah. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Now, looking at the lesson notes for this Sunday school lesson, there's some geographical notes. Kirjath-Jearim means a city of trees. It was about 6 miles northwest from Jerusalem. Mizpah means watchtower. It is a hill northwest from Jerusalem, about 6 miles further toward the north, can Kirjath-Jearim. From Mizpah, all central Palestine can be seen. Locate on a map Ramatham, Zophim, Beth Shemesh, Ramah, and Siloh. Now here's some helps and hints for the teacher. We need to remember as we study this lesson that the wages of sin is death. The facts stated in 1 Samuel 4, 5, and 6, the capture of the ark, the covenant by the Philistines, the death of Eli's sons, Eli's death, the death of Phinehas' wife, and God's declaration that the strength of Eli's house should be cut off, that none in it should become old or should die in the flower of their age, and everyone left should become a beggar, all show that the way of the transgressor is hard, and the wages of sin is death. The Philistines had captured the ark, and they kept the ark 7 months. God visited upon them such severe plagues that they returned it with golden images of their tumors and of the mice which marred the land. It was received by the men of Beth Shemesh, thence removed to Kirjath-Jearim, and placed in the house of Abinadab, whose son Eleazar was sanctified to keep it. The ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim until it was removed by David to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and 2 Chronicles chapter 13. That is, during a part of the time Samuel judged Israel, and during all the reign of Saul, the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim, that city of trees. The 20 years of 1 Samuel chapter 7-2 were the 20 years from the time the ark was removed to Kirjath-Jearim until the events of this chapter. All the house of Israel were burdened with their sins and longed for the prosperity and religion of former days and lamented after Jehovah. The margin says they were drawn together after Jehovah. For 40 years Israel had been oppressed by the Philistines, Judges 13 and verse 1. Now let's read some of the explanatory notes and return to our text. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto Jehovah with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your hearts unto Jehovah, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away the Balaam and the Ashtaroth, and served Jehovah only. Samuel told the people upon what conditions God would deliver them out of the hand of the Philistines. They must put away their foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among them and return unto God with all their heart. They must repent indeed. To give up their idols was to revolt, really, against the Philistines. Idolatry had its attractions, its wealth, its ease of living, its licentious festivals, and its popularity. All this must be given up. And direct your hearts unto Jehovah. They must search their hearts and set them upon God and serve him only. It seems that Samuel preached this from place to place and taught it around the people before they assembled at Mizpah. And they did repent and put away the Balaam and the Ashtaroth and served Jehovah only. We'll come back to this in our next class.